When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. Tunes and tumblers.
Put that record on right now. Welcome to Tunes and Tumblers by Atwood Magazine, a podcast where we believe that music is best enjoyed with a drink in your hand. Every week, we create original craft cocktails and mocktails to pair with the songs of our favorite artists and invite them into our bar for a toast. So put up your feet and enjoy a cold one on us. If you're a fan of the show or maybe just entering the bar for the first time, be sure to subscribe and give us a rating wherever you're listening. And if you'd like to buy us around, head on over to patreon.com/tunesandtumblers to become one of our fabulous patrons. I'm your host, Anthony, and I have officially recovered from the Thanksgiving festivities. You'll be glad to know that I survived four different meals with four different families slash groups of friends, and I've only gained 5 pounds and endured one excruciating food coma. And with Christmas and New Year's on the horizon, I'm training my stomach to do it all again. If I end up looking like Santa Claus by the end of the 25th, you all know why. Please endure this gluttony responsibly. Of course, we all know that drinking alone is a sad, sad business, so I invited a new somebody to man the bar with me today. He's a television editor, musician, community organizer, polyglot, and many other hyphenates I don't have time to list. Mostly, he's just here to make sure I don't say anything stupid on the air. Tunes and Tumblers fam, please welcome Khalid Cannon to the pod.
Wow, hello, hi, that's me, all of those words.
I don't lie. We don't lie here. We only tell the truth.
No, see, yeah.
And we also have a musical guest today. She is an artistic force who has seamlessly navigated the world of music from ballet to Billboard. Hailing from Denmark, she carved her musical path following a career-altering back injury, which led to the production of her debut album, Fauna, in 2008. Since then, she has shared stages with the likes of Katy Perry, Sia, and Coldplay, while showcasing her multi-instrumentalist talents. Beyond music, she's graced judging panels on The X Factor and composed scores for Netflix's The Rain and Tivoli Ballet's Askepot, or Cinderella for all us English speakers. She's here today to talk about her latest album, Loop Soup, a genre-bending pop feast she released on her own imprint, Tusk or Tooth. Tunes and Tumblers fam, please welcome Olan to the pod.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Oh, I get stressed out when listening to all of that stuff about my life. Sounds like a very stressful career.
We'll now have you answer for your crimes.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us today. Where are you zooming in from right now?
I'm in Copenhagen in Denmark.
Oh, wow. And for our listeners...
In my basement, actually, down in my studio.
Very nice. For listeners, it is 11 a.m. here in Los Angeles. What time is it over there?
It's 8 p.m.
Oh, wow. So we will get this done pretty quickly so you can head out to the bar or go to sleep, whatever it is that you prefer. But, you know,
yeah, we'll see.
It's been a few weeks and we've had a long time to relax, go on our holidays and everything, but I need to bulk up my Spotify playlist now that we're back. So can you all tell me what you've been listening to recently? Khalid, do you want to go first?
Oh God. Everybody knows the horrors of the Spotify Wrapped around this time of year.
Yeah, right?
On everyone's social media. I've been listening to a lot of, at least I didn't know I was listening to these, but Spotify Wrapped has very adamantly told me Esperanza Spalding, some James Brown, and some Frank Ocean. So, you know, we're all over the map in that regard. But Spotify Rap has me at gunpoint and has told me these things. So all glory to our God.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Nana, how about you? What have you been listening to?
I've been listening to really bad kids music, but that's not voluntary.
Kids music.
Yeah, because I have two kids.
Oh.
And they are just like, the only good thing that they're listening to at the moment is Foo Fighters and Michael Jackson a lot.
Foo Fighters is kids music.
I'm going to be dated if it is.
Yeah, my kids are kind of weird in that sense. They really love rock music. And they're very much into the specific song Hero by Foo Fighters.
Oh, no.
And he's just three, the little one. And he goes to the basement and he pulls the drumsticks and he just like goes nuts with the Foo Fighters. And Kurt Cobain. They love Kurt Cobain.
Wow.
It's so weird.
I think you might be raising them right.
Yeah. My hero hero was my yearbook quote. So, you know, they're going in the right direction.
Yeah. Wow.
It's funny. It's not even... I don't even really listen to Foo Fighters or Kurt Cobain these days, but they've just picked it up.
Mm. Wow. I love that. I really do.
I just have one song that I'm actually listening to. That's not just them. I don't really know how to pronounce her name. Amaray, maybe?
Amaray.
Amaray.
Amaray. Amaray.
Okay.
And the song is called Co-Star.
Co-star.
And it's incredible. It's the one song I've been listening to the most the past year.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to have to look that up.
It starts out with this like harp type synthesizer, and then it has this kind of like hyper pop, super catchy chorus.
Amaray is a Ghanaian American singer-songwriter. Incredible.
And for listeners, I mean, listeners who have done this with us a lot, they know that all of these songs that we talk about go onto our What Have You Been Listening To playlist. So if you get curious, just head on over to Spotify and listen to all of the nonsense that we talk about in this show. But, you know, we're talking about Spotify Wrapped, and you know how when you like listen to like a lot of ambient stuff to like, you know, put you to sleep or whatever.
Yeah.
I accidentally kind of got caught up in that, and I didn't realize that I listened to a lot of Miracle Tones, which is this ambient music project of a Swedish producer named Timo Krantz. And like, this was a suggestion from my therapist. I'm going to just like go into it really quick.
Okay.
So he makes music that is like solfeggio frequencies. Are either of you familiar with those?
I'm not. I don't go to therapy enough for that.
So solfeggio frequencies, like there's this hypothesis that everything in the universe has its own resonant frequency of vibration. And the vibrational signature of certain sounds from like 174 hertz to 963 hertz in particular, it is thought that these can like positively impact our mental, physical, and spiritual health. And there's 9 of them. Each with like a different thing that it's supposed to do for you. So like, for example, 174 is supposed to like relieve pain and tension, stress. And then like 741 is supposed to eliminate like toxins and negativity from your body. I mean, like, I don't know how true this is, but I just like put on his stuff. I'm like, this is pretty relaxing.
These are frequencies or BPM?
They're frequencies.
Oh.
So like, I'm not sure how he does it, but it'll just be like these ambient soundscapes that kind of like revolve around certain like wavelengths.
Mm.
So
that's so interesting. I just read recently that James Blake had re-released his latest album as like, you know, it's been reworked with that in mind, where they've just like pulled out all those frequencies and made it like musical therapy.
Pulled them out of the mix?
They've just like enhanced it and like rearranged some of it so it becomes more like ambient music. But they've taken his original tracks and worked with it. Also, I think some AI. It's very interesting. I don't really understand it. It's like, I feel like it's some German producers who's done it.
Mm-mm.
Have you not heard about it?
I've not heard about it. I've not heard about it. But then again, okay. I don't know any German, so I'm sure it's a whole...
But I went and listened to it, and it was really beautiful. But his music is already kind of like ambient and relaxing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm gonna have to check that out. But anyway, according to Spotify Wrapped, I listened to a lot of solfeggio frequencies, and that just completely messed up my algorithm.
You heard it here first. Spotify Wrapped 2023, brought to you by therapy.
Well, again, listeners, if you want to listen to anything that we talk about on the show, head on over to our What Have You Been Listening To playlist. You'll know you've found it because the image is of like a pug loaf that I still have to change. We want to make it back into BLT sandwiches because that's... it stands for What Have You Been Listening To, but it's actually YBLT. And we ask the question, why BLT? Because it's delicious.
Ooh.
So go check it out. Save it. Also, if you're an artist yourself or have friends who are artists, please drop into our Instagram DMs. Send us their work. We love pumping up these artists and putting them on the playlist. Yeah. And also, we'd like to interview you. Come on the show.
Yes, you.
Chill out.
We want you here.
You know, I think that I have procrastinated long enough, though. Both of you are new to the bar, so before we go in, I need to see an ID from both of you.
Oh, no.
Nana, do you want to go first? What have you brought with you today to show the bouncer?
I have an ID. No, whoa, that was not the right one. just... Here's my ID.
Oh, a Pokemon card. What is this one? I can't see.
That's the Milton.
Mm.
It's a violent type Pokemon, and it's a basic development.
I used to play Pokemon cards, so like I understand everything that you're saying, but I do not know this Pokemon.
I don't know this card. Melton.
You don't know Melton?
Melton.
I think his middle. What's it called? The development of them?
Yeah, the evolution.
How do you say that in English? Yeah, evolution. The evolution is a Milmetal.
Right. So he turns into that one. Interesting.
Yeah.
And for those who are listening, she did just pull up at the beginning of this bit an N60, well, not N64, a Super Nintendo cartridge was her first ID. It looks like it's Super Mario Bros.
I think that's the original Nintendo.
It's the original Nintendo.
It is.
Before forgetting and then bringing up her Pokemon card. So you have at least two of these sort of artifacts. Do you just have a whole collection of these?
Yeah, it was actually just lying on the floor.
Yeah, it just happens to be. You know how everyone has Super Nintendo games lying on their floor.
Yeah, you know, it's my studio basement, so I have weird things lying around.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I'm going to have to pull my Nintendo out of storage after this.
For sure.
It's so fun.
Except the Mario.
Khalid, you also brought something to show our bouncer. What is it?
So I will say, I did bring a little trophy here from a thing that I was going to, but I'm going to go a little bit abstract here. Thanks to your Nintendo thing. I'm going to pull out my old wallet, pull out a beaten and battered Eevee Pokemon card that I keep with me. Yeah. So from a very long time ago, since I guess we're going in that direction. Now, the onus is on you, I think. The pressure's on you, Anthony.
Oh my God.
To also have a Pokemon card. If you don't, you will be kicked off.
Ah, God. You know what? There was that moment where I'm just like, you know, when Beanie Babies were going to be like the new big investment.
Oh, for sure.
I saved all my Pokemon cards. And then my dad went through the garage. He's like, do you want this big booklet of Pokemon cards? This was like 5 years ago. And I'm like, no, you can toss it. And I regret that decision every single day.
That's like your savings right there out the window.
That's all of it's gone.
I mean, that's just a metaphor for my life in general. Just my savings
Oof.
Into the trash.
Oof.
So why Eevee?
Why Eevee? It is an old relationship I had with somebody where we went to a Build-A-Bear and built an Eevee doll and a Charmander doll. And so we got the cards that came with it. And we're no longer together. That's a story for another time. But, you know, I'm ready to Pokemon battle. If you ever want to, Nana, let's do it. Let's wage war against each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess the question is the same for you, Nana. Why Melton?
Why Melton?
It was just there on the floor, literally.
Don't tell Melton.
Yeah, I know.
Make him feel special.
Yeah. Melton, I love you.
Well, you know, both of those worked. I think our bouncer is also a fan of Pokemon cards. There's very rarely something that he's not a fan of.
He looks happy.
Yes. Welcome to the Toons and Tumblers bar. It's usually only open for an hour or two in the middle of the day, but since you're zooming in from the complete other side of the world, it's already night, which means we're finally open during normal hours, and maybe that'll finally bring in a customer or two.
Oh my God.
Yes, we might have a return on this investment at some point. But let's get some tunes going while we start making the drinks. Khalid, since the rest of our regulars are out of town, I'm turning over the keys to the jukebox to you. What are we listening to?
Okay, so today, yeah, we've got Nana. She is a lead frontman of Oland, which is a Danish futuristic pop. Is that, would that be the right appellation? They've been called grandiose, cinematic, deeply existential. We've got a new album here, Loop Soup. It's the sixth album from your own imprint. Just delves into a bunch of existential woes that, of course, are all prescient to all of us here on this side of life. I absolutely am in love with it. I've seen things I haven't heard talked about, and that's the thing that people think about with music is, what are they talking about? What are the new things that they're talking about? This social media anxiety that you see on Bleed, sort of the existential woes that are in it with growing up, with getting older, with still relating to the fast pace of life, especially here in Los Angeles. How did you jump into things like that? I mean, these aren't things that most people are talking about on sort of the future pop wavelength.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I think I really just wanted to write music that was about my inner life. And I just feel recent years have been really, I feel like as a species, we've really just had to confront so many problems in the way we do things in society lately, like the past few years. Mm-hmm. And we've just had to like break ourselves down and relearn a lot of things. And that has just made me question a ton of things about how we do things and how I do things and how I see things. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to put those very, like, sometimes mundane problems into songs, because I feel like it's a image of what it is to be human right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, I think that I have a pretty good drink to go along with this. Mind if I take the helm for a second?
Oh, jump in, my good friend. Mm-hmm.
So I looked at what your preferences are, and I saw gin on there. I also saw yuzu, which are two very different types of flavors. You know, you have the gin that has, what is it, juniper berry? Like, it's made from juniper berry.
The cherry's out.
Yes. Yeah. And then yuzu is more of like a Japanese fruit. And I'm like, you don't usually see these two together. And so there's like these disparate flavors coming together. And I think that that's very emblematic of what you're doing in Loop Soup. There's all these different anxieties that you're jumping into and trying to make sense of. And it coalesces into this like beautiful piece of like retrofuturistic pop. So I'm going to start with those two. I'm calling this a you soup.
I love that.
Yeah. Incredible. Y-O-U, but also Y-U. To kind of bring in the yuzu. Yeah, so we're going to start with some gin, equal parts gin and yuzu liqueur. That's what we have here. Adding a little bit of simple syrup to kind of round out the sour notes of the yuzu. And then put in some mint. You're going to muddle all that up, pour it over ice, and then float with some elderflower tonic. And I just think that this is a very simple drink. You can get all of these ingredients at, like, you know, I don't know what you have over there, but there's like this big store called Total Wine that just like has a bunch of liquor. And I just walked in there and I'm like, this looks good, this looks good, this looks good. Keeping it nice and simple, you got four ingredients plus herbs, and it's freaking delicious, and it's light,
it's refreshing, it's refreshing,
it's also very strong.
It sounds delicious.
Now, can we have 30 minutes of Anthony sipping this drink ASMR?
Yes. You know, be very jealous. I'm so sorry that you couldn't be here. Like,
Yeah, but I can taste it in my brain.
Oh.
Because I know all the flavors, and I know exactly how it will taste. And it's good.
Yeah. It's good. The thing is, I labored over this one for a little bit, and I kept being like, no, that's not the right ratio. No, that's not the right ratio. And then I realized halfway through making the drink, I'm like, oh, I'm really tipsy, and I haven't even finished making the drink yet.
So suddenly everything's the right ratio, actually.
Yeah. I think that's exactly it. I think we need a toast. Khalid,
we need a toast.
Nana,
yeah. Can we cheers on? Yeah.
Clink.
I have my shoe.
Oh, yeah.
Tunes and Tumblers fam, stick around, because when we come back, we're talking to Oland all about Loop Soup, Loop navigating Soup. A brave new world, and maybe burning society to the ground. I don't know.
Down.
All those are on the table, so stick around.
Free, first before I speak. I never lock the door before I leave. The way you look at me so differently.
Welcome back. We're here with Nana Olin for what is it? Fabricius? Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Olin Fabricius, like delicious.
Yes.
Oh, that is amazing.
Better known to the world as Olin. Let's get right into it. So the album is called Loop Soup, and I want to know what's in a name. Why is this called Loop Soup?
It was because I feel like my brain, my thoughts just go into this memories from the past and also dreams of the future and things I have to do, just like completely get into this chaotic loop with the present, and I can't really just stay in the present, and it just becomes this soup. And that's very much what the song's about. It's about like soupy loopy brain fucks.
Soupy loopy brain fucks.
I think I'm gonna name my child that.
Is brain fucks the last name?
Exactly.
But yeah, I like that. We talk about this a lot, and I think it almost becomes cliche that like artists kind of work out things that are going on in their brain in their art. But I think like at least what you've got here, it's not just therapy. It also seems like a recontextualization of like what's going on. You're kind of like bringing all these ideas together into like almost some sort of like once I make sense of this, I can make something kind of cohesive and beautiful out of it, like an album. Like this, it doesn't just feel like you're just kind of belaboring anything. It's like, here are all these different anxieties, and now let's dance.
Yeah, true, true. I wanted people to listen with their bodies and not with their heads, because that's what I'm trying to escape myself. I'm trying to escape my head and just get into my body. So it was very important for me to make music for the body.
Making music for the body.
Yeah, something that you want to move to, you can feel it rather than, you know, think about it. Like I wanted like to make something that you could actually bounce to a little bit.
In the songwriting process, when you say listening to your bodies, you know, that sounds like a very like in the moment, very present sort of thing. How do you feel like when you're trying to decide what message you want to say? Is it more, does it work more to try to figure out what message you want to say beforehand and try to write that into it, or just to feel in the moment and blurt out everything? Like what's the difference between those two?
It's very intuitive and improvised. Like I don't really plan out how I want to write a song. It usually starts with some music or like even a beat. Mm-hmm. And then I just start improvising, like literally just saying what I have on my mind, on melody. And sometimes I just hit the right combination of lyrics and melody for a phrase. And it's like, okay, there's something there. I need to explore this. This said something I didn't even know I was feeling.
So you're discovering your own things in that process as well then?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not like, oh, today I want to write about being a girl growing up. Like it's not like that. It's really something that just surprises me a little bit. And sometimes I'm like, can I just write a happy song today? But it doesn't really.
For once,
and I think
just
that's
why
my music sounds so happy, because the lyrics can be kind of depressing sometimes, but I need to have some optimism in my music.
Oh my God, artists don't smile? Can we talk about artists don't smile for a second?
Oh my gosh, that was the one that...
That's exactly what that is.
Yeah, that one kind of stopped me in my tracks while I was making the drinks earlier today. I'm just like, yeah, we think that the only art worth creating or the only art that has value is one that, like, art that comes from a tortured place. And I think, like, that just seems very myopic. Like, that's... Being tortured is... Yeah, a part of the human experience, but it's not all of the human experience, you know?
Yeah, obviously when you're tortured, you have maybe like some filters that are gone and you have like an easy access to very raw emotions. That's for sure true. But I also feel like there's a whole misconception about like, you know, therapy is the worst enemy of the arts. You know, like you can't really try to feel good, because then you will kill your inspiration. And I think that's complete bullshit. Like the better I feel and the stronger I become as a human being, the more the more subtle things I also am able to write about, and not just like really big, like the four main pillars of emotions.
The four main pillars of emotion.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't. I haven't heard that before. Do you want to enlighten us?
I haven't heard that either. I just made it up.
Oh. she said, have you heard of that before? But no, because she's just made it up.
Imagine if we sat here and we're like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, absolutely. We know that. Of course. The four? It's incredible.
I just feel like anger, sadness, mm-hmm. love, and jealousy, and you know, it's just like they're like four.
I like that jealousy has its own.
Yeah, jealousy's a good one.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, I like what you were saying about being tortured or being sad, the filters come off, because like that's something I definitely experienced in something like a breakup, where I feel the most inspired, I think, not even in terms of like writing about my sadness or whatever, but just like as like ideas come better. I'm like, maybe the answer then is like learning how to access that without being devastated. Is there a way to do that?
Absolutely.
How does one bring the wall down without like not even destroying one's life, without allowing something super bad to happen to you?
Music for me, like I think we all have these different like medias or whatever it is that brings us in contact with our own emotions. And for me, that's music. For other people, it's nature, or I don't know, could be a million different things. But for me, whenever I sit down and I touch a piano, I just have immediate access to things that I have like had marinating in my mind, like experiences that I might have not reacted to in the moment, but like they've been marinating in there, and I can bring them up through music. And I probably wouldn't even dare doing that if I didn't have music.
Yeah. Nothing like a loss to make you realize just like how sad your music actually is, or nothing like a truly happy event, or like lucky or whatever, something really good happens to you, for you to realize the same, like to hear it in music. I don't know how I'm going to tie this in, but I was just thinking about the temporal aspect of music, like music, film, television. These are all mediums that only exist in time. And I think that that for me has something to do with like the way it's able to bring up emotion. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe take this out, Madeline. I just kind of went on a tangent.
No, that's great. But you said that you don't know how you would be able to access this without music. I mean, you were a dancer before in a completely alternate reality, right? Nana is this world famous dancer. Do you think you could have accessed the same places that you've gone to, that music has taken you to emotionally, had you been a dancer professionally for your life?
I think I would definitely have been poorer.
Oh no!
But like being a dancer, seriously, I didn't know the feeling of stress. I didn't know the feeling in my body, because like I was always so in tune with my body that like stress didn't stuck up in my body. It was so weird. Like I didn't feel like that tingling feeling when you're like stressed out about something, because I was such an animal. I feel like
an animal,
and I really feel like I miss that now when I'm so much in my head. Like being a dancer, you're just an instrument.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what I mean by animal.
Over the summer...
You look so confused. Oh, no.
I thought you were being hunted. I didn't know what to say.
Over the summer, I read this book by Brandon Taylor called The Late Americans, that it's all about people who are in like arts graduate programs at like some university in like Iowa or something. Dancing is the only art form that seems to have an expiration date on it, because you can only perform so long as your body is in like shape. And unfortunately, through the aging process, like you start inevitably, like even if you keep yourself like you take really good care of yourself, eventually you lose access to the way that that instrument is able to perform over your lifetime. It's It seems a little like inevitably sad to me that would happen. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's like an art form for young people, because when you're young, you don't care about getting older. You don't care about turning 30 and having to retire, because when you're 30, you are basically half dead anyways, like seen from an 18-year-old perspective. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I was 18, I was like, everyone was like, oh, you have to take better care of your body, because when you're 30, mm-hmm. you're going to be in a wheelchair. And I was like, when I'm 30, like, I'm already, you know, useless when I'm 30. It's like in 100 years. But then I turned 30 and I was like, oh my God, my life is just starting.
Exactly. I also feel like with people in our age group, like, adulthood seems prolonged or like protracted. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I just entered my mid 30s and I still feel like I'm not an adult yet. And maybe that has something to do with late stage capitalism, like making a lot of the supposed signifiers of adulthood like forever out of reach. We're getting mm-hmm. to the point where I've like drunk so much that like the socialism's about to start happening.
No, let the socialism reign.
Every single episode.
Yeah, we're living in socialism over here.
Yeah, I was going to say Denmark. Well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but don't tell our government that. They want to be just like completely unaware of socialism working anywhere.
So, yeah, I know.
Andre 3000. Do you know Andre 3000 from Outkast by any chance?
Oh, yeah. I've been listening a lot to him lately. And
incredible.
His flute.
Incredible, right?
Yeah.
So he has this quote recently that's kind of been, you know, circulating through the music space. Lil Wayne was talking about it. He was kind of accepting that at his age, the reason why he doesn't do rap is because he thinks he doesn't have anything to talk about at his age. And so maybe that's his age, or maybe that's, you know, at his income level, he doesn't have as many struggles to talk about. But do you think that there is something to growing up and losing a fight, or losing like things that need to be talked about, things that need to be thrown out to the world? I mean, have you encountered that at all, or what are you thinking?
I feel like getting older, you are more obliged to talk in a way.
Mm.
Like the opposite, I feel like I'm responsible to talk. Do you know what I mean? When I was younger, I could just talk when I wanted, but now the older I get, I feel like it's a responsibility that I have to talk. I have to speak up. I have to, you know, have my voice heard if I have something meaningful to say. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. Also, I have two kids and I feel like I can't just sit back and be like, okay, now my turn is over. Now it's the next generation. You know, I kind of have to still participate, I feel.
And that kind of goes counter to this saying that exists, at least in our country, where it's like, if you are not a liberal when you are young, then you have no heart. But if you're not a conservative by the time you're like 40, then you have no brain, which I completely. Yeah, you're
there's
doing
a lot of
the
words in that sentence.
There's a lot of words there. But I just think that it completely misses the mark, because like it assumes that eventually you're going to like fall into contentment and individualism. And I don't think that that's true at all. At least as I age, I feel like I am more inspired to do something for the world and more inspired toward social justice and like the creation of art that will inspire that. So like I completely agree with you.
Yeah, I can totally see that. And it's interesting what you were just saying, because like as I just told you in the beginning of the show, my kids are listening a lot to Michael Jackson. And it's like this, I'm feeling a bit ambivalent about it, because you know there's all these stories about him and little boys.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So like but they just adore his music and I love it too. And it just struck me why kids love Michael Jackson's music and I loved his music, and I think it's because he has an idealism in his lyrics that most adults don't. They become realists, and it's very like as a child you have a very strong sense of justice. So when you hear a grown up like be idealistic, it feels like you're being heard, because you know most grown ups around you are just realists.
There is no Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just learning exactly. This. I didn't know that. There was
Santa
Claus.
Is this you finding out?
Thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah. There's a really good book on this that I'm actually reading right now, called Monsters by Claire Dieterer. She is a film critic with the New York Times, I believe. But she, it's basically just like this personal grappling with the dissonance between the life of an artist and the art they create. Kind of like inspired by the Me Too movement. And like, she talks a little about Michael Jackson. But it's not very simple. Like, everyone wants to cancel somebody because they did something wrong. And like, even if somebody did like an atrocious crime, like their art can still mean so much to somebody and like be an essential part of their development and identity that like, it's not as simple as just writing it off. Like, I completely agree, especially about Michael Jackson. Like, I used to be like this. I just feel ick after the Finding Neverland documentary came out. And now I'm just like, I cannot ignore the fact that this man made some of the most enduring music of, and like enduring and influential music of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. And like if that idealism is inspiring to children, like, you know, why are we removing it? Right. Well,
there's something to be said about being able to make art as an artist and still be regarded as a separation between who you are and what you make. And I do want to say, so Michael Jackson, right, that your kids are listening to, and also Nirvana, I think,
yes,
I think both of the groups that your kids are listening to have a very dark end period. So I think just stay away from letting them know how that ends out for each of those people. But I will say, so as a musician, as an artist doing these things, when you see people who are able to enjoy Michael Jackson and separating him from who he is as a person, I mean, in your music, do you want people to listen to your music and separate it from who you are, or do you want them to take it in context of who you are? Is it you speaking out that's necessarily needs to be known in order to enjoy it to the fullest?
I actually have no ego in my music in that sense. Like, I really don't care what people want me to be, if you know what I mean. Like, if they want me to be themselves, or if they want me to be me, or I don't know, an alien from Denmark. I don't care. Like, I just want people to kind of feel the music and kind of make it their own stories. But it is very true to who I am, what I create. But I really, like, whatever people want me to be, I am that for them. And that's fine with me.
Mm.
Yeah, I do love that. You know, we're kind of on a tear here. I really don't want to, like, wind down the interview portion. But, you know, we're all on a, we all got a, I need my seventh drink. No, I kind of want to ask like a fun question to kind of wrap this up, because we've been getting like we've been going down an existential rabbit hole. You've said that Loop Soup explores the struggles of being human when you are actually an alien. So I kind of want to go around the room and ask the same question of all of us, which is, what is it about the human experience for you that feels so foreign or alien?
What is it about the human experience?
Like, if you look at, so, if you imagine yourself as an alien watching humans and you see like what it is to be human, what is to you the most dissonant part of that? Like, when you look at that, you're like, huh, okay.
That we are so destructive, you know, we're so self-destructive. That's something that I really like, don't really see in other animals that way, that we're so greedy, we just can't stop. It's like the stop function doesn't exist.
Yeah, I'm not going to be the old man who yells at Cloud here, but like, especially the way that we consume social media now feels very frenetic. Like, that's kind of what TikTok is built on. But people have been saying, as long as there has been media, that the next media that comes out is shortening our attention span, you know, like television to the written word. And then, like, I don't know, what was after TV and before Facebook? I don't even remember anymore.
The end times. I do want to ask, I need to ask, Bleed. Can you talk to me about Bleed? Social media anxiety. It seems like a cat and mouse game between, you know, getting the likes and trying to stay present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wrote that song. It was actually this crazy dream I had. I was literally dreaming that my life was a feed, you know, when you scroll down your feed, and everything I experienced in my real life was a feed where I was walking through these weird different posts, and it was all like bleeding together. It had like this, like, in my dream, the screen had this like horror type animation where blood is like sliding down the screen.
Oh wow.
And then I woke up and I wrote the two sentences of the chorus. Bleed, we're always on each other's feet. Can someone undo and delete the way we bleed? And then the day after I was like, oh, I was rhyming in my dream. I need to write the song.
Wow. Usually when I wake up and write down ideas, I'll like look at it the next day and I'm like, this makes no sense.
Yeah. It's usually like that.
You need to go on tour with Sia when you do that like she did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that one night I was very lucky.
Oh man, I was going to like music about, I think, social media and the internet can sometimes be like really trite, but I really like the way that you are able to kind of explore what you were talking about, the distractibility into that song in particular. God, I was just, I don't know why I was thinking about this while you were talking, but there's this song from a few years ago by like this really strange artist named Hey Steve. He kind of makes, do you listen to Hey Steve?
I remember from this like a few years back.
Yeah, he has this song called Clickbait that is just like this really sexy funk song. That's just about him like looking at this person on Tinder and then just like rhyming about like how she's clickbait or or he, but no, it's like really sexy, like not in an objectifying way. It's just like he's throwing out all of these different entendres that like come together so well. And I'm just like, that is using the new language of the internet to like create something that still feels like effusive art.
Mm. Yeah,
also
yeah.
Like it's definitely like a dirty underground like sex club song. So yeah, that's going on the playlist. That's going on the playlist. Listeners, go check out the playlist. I'm putting Clickbait by Hey Steve on there.
I got this chorus line from Bleed here. I do it to myself. I'm running on that wheel. I'm chasing after likes because I like the way it feels. I have to ask, are you still on social media after this song?
Yeah, but I am horrible with like, what's it called, TikTok.
Oh, that is so okay.
Oh my God, how do people do it? How do people do it? I don't get it.
I still haven't. I think my algorithm is fucked. I can't get beyond the faces with the leeches on.
The faces with the leeches? What is this?
Have you seen that? It's like a thing, apparently, that my feed is full of. It's like people with their faces full of leeches, and then they're like taking them off with pincets. And now that I'm talking about, my phone's probably recording it and putting more.
Right.
Oh my God. This podcast brought to you by leeches.
Hit us up. The Big Leech. We want to promote your platform. Big Leech. Oh, man.
Humanity, the human experience is foreign in that way.
Yeah, so I guess I'm asking you that question next. Like, what is it about the human experience that feels so foreign to you?
It's got to be something we did to ourselves. It's got to be hope.
Hope.
It's got to be hope. There's no other, you know, I mean, all animals fight for the right to survive, but there's none so deluded in the hope of any singular thing as humanity is. The hope that we matter, that there's definitely love out there, that there's all of these different things, just to feel like you did something on your short time on Earth, instead of accepting that it is a short time on Earth and that it is what it was, and that you can't make it anything more than that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Have either of you read or seen The Sandman?
Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
I have not.
So there's like a battle that he does with Satan, which is a battle of ideology. It, there's no other way to describe it, where like the way that they fight is by like saying what they are, like what they become and how it trumps the other one. So like I am life, and then like life trumps whatever Satan is. And then she's like, yeah, because Satan's a woman in this. She is like, I am disease. And then like it physically manifests.
That.
Yeah. And so like, I am the sum total of existence. I am all matter. And then she's like, I am antimatter that consumes everything. And it's like, then this like desolate blankness, like a void. And the only way he is able to defeat her is by saying, I am hope. I am like, I cannot be extinguished, even hope. in the even in the face of pure desolation, hope can still exist.
Wait, can we play that game? Would you like to play that game for just a split second? I would love to hear your answers for that. So, okay, so say...
Start small.
So, start small. So, say I am Nana, right? And then I will say... Actually, I'll start saying I am Khalid. Then you say I am Nana. Then I say something that I think would trump Nana. And then you tell me something...
Okay, so you have to go bigger...
Yeah, something that beats the last thing, I guess. Like what I think would put an end to that, and then you what you think would put an end to. I don't know how the game works. We're trying it out.
Yeah, they started with animals. Like I am an ant, and then like I am.
Okay, we can do animals too. We're gonna animals too. Okay. So so think of an animal that relates to you, and then
a leech. There we go.
A leech. All right, go for it. So say I am.
I am a leech.
Okay. I am the eventual death of a leech.
Mm. Oh.
And then what are you that is more important than that, that can beat the eventual death?
I am I am the cat that ate the leech.
The cat that ate the leech.
Oh, yeah.
I am the unimportance of the cat.
We are so deep down this existential rabbit hole. I'm like going to go, I was going to go simple. Like I am a leech. I am the salt that dries up the leech. Like that sort of thing.
I'm over here like, what is the doom and gloom?
Yeah. I am the salt. I am the water that deludes the salt. Mm-hmm. I am the pollution that taints the water. That sort of thing. I don't know.
Yeah. You guys are too clever for my brain right now.
Oh, no, not at all. It's late. It's late for you.
Yeah. In fact, like we don't want to keep you too much longer. This was a lot of fun. Does anyone have before like we wrap up with our game of hashtag mood? Does anyone have any like more questions that are just so at the tip of our tongue?
I will say it's not a question, but I do want to say, like I said earlier, recently did my first trip to Europe, Berlin. This can't go on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay, Madeline, take this out.
Hate Berlin. Worst place I've ever been to in my entire life. Terrible place.
I love that statement.
Everyone is, it's the place that cool kids go to prove that they're cool. They're so grumpy and they just want to be cool. Your song, Artists Don't Smile, makes me think about Berlin. It's like this
I totally understand.
It's like an anti-cool kid normalization. Like it's just, you know, you don't have to like pretend to be this cool person. And every time, whenever I go to Berlin from now on, I'm going to think about Artists Don't Smile.
And that makes me so happy.
Yeah. And I'm going to say no to wearing all leather like everyone in Berlin does.
They're still wearing all leather? Do they think it's 1994?
I don't know. I don't know what they think because I don't... tried to learn German and it didn't work out.
Nana, thank you so much for joining us today. But before we go, I would love to play our favorite game with you. Who wants to play a round of hashtag mood? What is hashtag mood, you ask? Hashtag mood is the game we like to play at the end of every show to flex our playlist building skills. What we're going to do is go over to the Tunes and Tumblers inbox on Instagram, and we are going to pull moods. These are themes that people have been thinking about that they want turned into a playlist on Spotify.
Nice.
We have two pulled right now, and we're going to do each of them where each of us gets to pick two songs that match that mood. So this one I wanted to do because it came in from your publicist, Rosie Boyd, and I love her. She wants a playlist for Out of This World UFO Emoji.
Mm, I love that. Oh, like my immediate thought is definitely David Bowie.
Yes.
David Bowie.
He is out of this world.
Space oddity.
But it is a very obvious pick. It could also be, what's the name? Arca?
Yes. We need more Arca in our lives.
Arca
is a non-binary electronic how do you describe Arca? Like the queer dance pop? Like how do you describe Arca?
Like an amazing producer who first got really famous when she produced FKA Twigs. and then also produced some amazing work for Bjork. Oh, and Bjork. I'm just a huge fan.
Yeah, we posted that photo of you on our Instagram, and the first thing my friend said was like, she likes Bjork.
Oh, really? Yeah. I love that. That makes me very happy.
Give off Bjork energy.
But like a song called Mutant by Arca is amazing.
Yes, I love it. Down. Yes, I love that. I already have my two in mind. In terms of Out of This World, I'm going to go very literal with it first, which, you know, another song besides David Bowie about an astronaut orbiting the Earth and like missing home and experiencing a feeling that I think is called asthenia, which is the name of the song by Blink-182 from their self-titled album. It's one of the, like, they're a very silly band, and I like that they're very silly, but every once in a while they'll come out with this like really deep existential song that I'm like, you had this in you? Okay. Yeah, so that song, and also the title track to Kesha's 2017 album Rainbow, which I love. That's just like her, you know, her homecoming album, her doing everything she wanted to. I watched the making of video for this, and she was very inspired by Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys. And so like she had this full orchestra that like helped her with it, with like didgeridoos and like all of these like a sitar, and you can kind of hear it in the final production. It's this really sweet ballad. But yeah, I thought about it because like that's part of the imagery. It's like very campy. Like the image on the box art is like her wading out into the ocean, and it feels kind of like Holy Mountain, which we didn't get to talk about. I wanted
Holy
to talk
Mountain.
Yeah, it's kind of like imagery from Holy Mountain, where like there's this spaceship that she's like walking towards. But yeah, I really love Rainbow. So those are my two picks.
Oh, wow. I mean, Kesha, she's come a long way since 2008, my freshman year of high school.
Yeah, I know.
TikTok on the clock.
TikTok on the clock. Man, who can
she
forget?
She predicted TikTok. It's even spelled the same.
Yeah.
She predicted
it.
Yeah,
it is. That's hilarious.
Our Lord and Savior. I would have to say, so Out of the World, wow, I feel like I'm caught unawares. I would say Daniel Pemberton, who did the soundtrack to the Spider-Verse movies, and incredible composer. Also some King Arthur movies, always on my Dungeons and Dragons playlist to this man. But he has some very great instrumentals that are just, it's out of this world. It's multi-dimensional, and just the way he moves from different act structures in the music is amazing. Because of course that's what you have to do when you're composing for film. The second person I would say is, got to give a shout out to the Pink Louds. They are, I believe, I'm going to get canceled for this. I believe Venezuelan singer who really fell in love with the New York subway artists from just watching New York subway musicians do things. And so she moved to New York just so she can go underground and find a band who plays on the subway. Her music is insane. It is an explosion of life. And I have to give a shout out to them for the Out of the World portion.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow, we blew.
Can't wait to hear it.
We blasted through that. That one was like really inspired, I think. Usually we're sitting there like, oh God, what are we doing? What are we doing?
What's our life? That's a good category.
Yeah. We got one more that I'm pretty excited about.
Go for it.
Because this one is an emotion that I feel all the time. This one comes from at Devin Henry on Instagram. And she wants a mood for Hangry.
A mood for Hangry.
Oh, there's a postscript for this. She wrote, also, oh my God, been a fan since 2010.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh. She was with you in the beginning.
Wow, yeah. That was very early. That was like before my big album.
Look outside your window. She's standing right there.
She's holding the boombox from Say Anything. This one's a little harder.
Hangry, like my immediate thought was, I hate you so much right now. You know, who was that artist?
Which one?
I hate you so much right now. I hate you so much right now.
Sounds like my ex-girlfriend.
Is that Kelly's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly's.
The milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, girl.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she did that song. I love that song because I could so relate to being that angry.
Why do I think that was Gwen Stefani?
Because, I don't know, this shit is bananas.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm out of Miami.
Yeah, that's also a good one. A-N-A-N-A-S.
There you go.
That's a good one.
I'll pick my first one, which is Eat It by Weird Al Yankovic, because we were talking about Michael and...
Parody of Beat It.
Yep. Oh, but I need a second to think of my second one.
I don't know. I really like the thread that you were on with like angry punk. Like it reminds me of Bikini Kill when I think of hangry. But I know
I have this bread and butter with Hugo.
Okay. Bread and butter Hugo?
Yeah. Oh my God, I forgot about Hugo. He's that oh my God.
Thai prince.
Is he actually a prince?
He's actually a prince.
I didn't know that. The dude looks like he presented himself like he looks
John
like
Lennon.
John he looks John like John Lennon. Lennon. John he also Lennon. When he did his cover of 99 Problems back in like 2011, he looked just like Jack White. That's who he looked like. We were talking about angry punk, and when I'm hangry, I like get up in somebody's face. And I was listening to the Beastie Boys' 1994 album, Ill Communication, and they have a hardcore punk song that's like 1 minute long. It's called Tough Guy. And like, it's him getting up in this face like, you know, who the fuck do you think you are, tough guy? And usually when I'm hangry, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to get angry at somebody who doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, sure.
There's not a lot of music about food, about being angry after food. I'm noticing a little divide
there's
there.
There's not a lot of music about cooking it,
there's
generally.
Not. We could, you know, we should do that. Have you ever thought about making a side project about food, a food-based side project?
Yes, I love food. I love cooking. I love everything in regards to food.
Good, good. Completely on board.
So, Devin, I hope you like these few songs and the promise that we are going to create a food supergroup.
Just for you, Devin.
Yes. Before we talk about Holy Mountain, I'm just going to do the part that I do at the end of this. Listeners, do you have a mood of your own? Why not call or text the Tunes and Tumblers hotline at 626-604-6477. We haven't gotten a text in a long time because people just hit us up in our Instagram inbox, but we used to get voice messages all the time, and we want you to leave us a voicemail. Like, get past your anxiety. We love to hear your lovely voices. We favor those ones over the other ones. Yes, we miss you.
We miss your voices.
Yeah, so hit us up. But also, when we call for moods on our Instagram, we love pulling them from there. Your favorite artist just may give you a playlist on the air. It's getting to be that time. I know. This has been so great. Like, this has been one of my favorite conversations. So, Nana, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
But it's been a pleasure.
It has. But before we go, do you have anything you would like to plug for our listeners?
The Andre 3000 new album. I've been listening a lot to that lately.
Yes. I love that, like, most artists are just like, yeah, go listen to my album, or I'm going to be on tour, and you're just like, listen to Andre 3000.
Just in general, you have to. The first song of what is the first song called? The first song is called I Really Wanted to...
Make a rap album.
But this is literally the way the wind
life
blew me.
Literally blew me. Yeah, exactly. I love the titles.
Incredible stuff.
If there ever was a poster boy for Stay Goofy, it is Andre 3000.
I love him.
Well, we will not keep you any longer. If you want to go out and have a good night, or if you want to go to sleep.
Well, I probably have to do a lot of picking Pokemon cards up from the floor and just tidying.
Yeah, it's true. We do have to have our battle soon. Thank you so much for coming on to the show. This was really enlightening. This is really good.
And you too, Khalid. Like, please, I want you to come back on the show too.
Oh, this is fun. I have to go blast the Andre 3000 album.
Yes.
And come back.
Just so much experimental jazz flute.
Exactly.
And thank you all for listening to Tunes and Tumblers. Tunes and Tumblers is an Atwood Magazine podcast and a member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Be sure to follow us on every platform. Also, please rate and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. It helps us out a lot. And if you go into the episode description, scroll on down to the very bottom, you can sign up for the Tunes and Tumblers Patreon. Every dollar goes to keeping the lights on and getting supplies to make these delicious drinks. Plus, there are a ton of perks for you to enjoy, and Eric promises that the Discord will be set up soon so that y'all can go sit in there and do nothing. I don't know how Discord works. Really?
Live your life. Drink.
Drink. Yeah. Tunes and Tumblers was produced, as always, by Madeline May and researched by Nick Nichols. Jamie Kahn handles all our digital content. Our theme song is by the band New New Girlfriend. Ooh. Our hashtag mood jingle comes to us from Jacob Jeffries and Jesse McGinty. Whoa. And until next time, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Don't smile. You gotta be tortured. And dark. It's so in vogue to be artists. Don't smile. You gotta be sad and serious all the time. Turn that smile upside down. Smile. You look so hot right now. Smile. Turn that smile upside down. Smile.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.